You're back for another episode of Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends. I got someone in my purple chair who's ready to chat with us about how they're navigating through life. Let's jump in. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends. And Kristen's back. Hi, Kristen. And
hello.
I guess we need to make our little announcement of your official new status here on the pod, that you are the official co-host and have agreed to be with me most of the time, which I'm so jazzed about.
I could not ask for a better person to do a podcast with. I'm just saying.
Oh, stop it. I'm super emotional today. But I feel like, you know, in, you know, saying all of this, we really have listened to what you as the listeners have enjoyed. And it has been Kristen and I ranting, laughing.
Sharing our nuggets.
Yeah, sharing all of our nuggets and our sauce and all the things that we do. But yeah, so I'm excited. And yeah, you, I don't know, it's fun to podcast with you for sure.
Yeah, I feel like we just have such, every time we do an episode, I tell you like, oh my God, we have such a good vibe. And then people tell you that we do. So I'm like, oh, well, I didn't just make that up because we've been friends for like 20 plus years.
Yeah, it's not just us. Like, I love talking to you and we sound great. Like you all are saying that too. So we appreciate the feedback on it and everything like that. But so with that, our first kind of official episode here, what are we talking about today? We are talking about multi-level marketing companies. And Kristen, do you want to share what your definition of that is?
Oh, okay. So also, wait, we should preface this so that it's known that one, we're not going to be bashing them.
No.
Two, we still have many MLMs that our friends are in that we still purchase from.
I had a box arrive last week for one. So yes.
And three, we both were on the same team of an MLM. How many years ago was that now?
Ooh, Rowan was one when I joined and he is now 13. So,
oh my God.
12 years ago was when I joined and I did it for 5 years. So,
and I did it for like four, I want to say, because at first I was like, but we'll get there. So,
yeah,
I just want people to know we are not bashing anyone or anything. In fact, I think that we're actually pretty supportive of people that do them.
Yes. And I think that there are, in my mind, tiers of multi-level marketing companies.
Tiers of shadiness.
We were in one that has been around forever.
And still is around.
Has great products, a good reputation. But there's a lot that, like, you know, let me sell you my diet pills and that kind of stuff. That I think that's what has driven a bit of the bad name for that industry.
Yeah, like the people that you haven't seen since high school that friend you on Facebook and then invite you to get like one of those wraps. It works.
Not sure if you want to lose weight. Well, I'm battling an eating disorder. So thank you for that. You know, no. And there's some bad marketing that goes along with that whole thing. So.
Well, and I do think that, you know, there are some bad, but there are some really good. So. Sorry for the huge long preface, but I think
that's a great like trigger warning for this, because if you are a person, and it's very polarizing too, right? So people either love or hate them. And if you're a person that's like, I'm going to listen to Laura and Kristen sound off and bash the, that's not this podcast. And it's also not the podcast to say like, we don't recognize that there are some things about those type of companies that could be
better. Yeah. Well, and again, I think that some of them, like the one we were in, it shouldn't be an MLM anymore, because I feel like in 2023, people know a lot more about them thanks to all the documentaries that have been on.
Right.
And I hope that some of them start changing their structure, which obviously we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Yep. So, but it's a huge industry because there's over 20, and I did look all this up, and you should know that I've been a college professor for a long time. And so everything I say will be cited with sources and backed up. I'm not going to make shit up.
Some data.
Yeah. Data time. But 20 million Americans participate in these or have done so in the past. And of that, a third of the people that do it because of their friends or family. Mm-hmm. And I can say that's 100% true because that's how I got into mine was Laura. But I watched her do it for a while. So we could talk about like joining them too. But here's the part that I think is where things become sketchy. So you've got 20 million people that have done those, but only a quarter of those people have actually made a profit.
Yeah.
So I think that, again, the idea that you join something and the people below you join and then you make money off them and it goes down and down, that's the MLM part.
That's the multi-levels that you get into. So the more people that you have join your team, the more money you make off of your sales and the people under you sales. And so, yeah.
I can't remember. Have you watched It's Always Sunny? I don't remember if that's one of your shows.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. So this makes me think of Invigoron, like the multi-level mark. We just watched that episode.
Yeah.
The other day.
And I think too, so I think the official term for these types of companies is direct sales. And I know there's like the Direct Sales Association. So there are some legitimacies to this industry. And I've known a lot of people that have made careers out of working for these types of companies. And so, yeah.
But I mean, I'm not going to lie. I would have completely kept doing it because I was like with the step under a director. I was bringing in like, even without a lot of work, I would do one or two parties a month at that point. I was bringing in enough money to make my car payment or to make my student loan payment. So to me, it was totally worth it. And I think what's different now too is, so back then it wasn't a normal thing that people did, like the Facebook parties. Like a lot of us were in on the ground of that.
You and I like taught other people how to do those things.
And we learned from our friend in another...
In another company.
And we took it and ran with it because even though Laura and I love to talk to each other, you know, sometimes other people aren't so fun. So if we could do it on Facebook, we didn't have to do these in-person ones. And so, but now, 10 years later or whatever this is, everybody does them. And I'm constantly getting invites. And that I don't like. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, that's where it feels a little fishy. Yeah.
Oh, pushy. Because it's, we were giggling, but like that, hey girl, haven't seen you, but like, have you seen the new products that we have? And I'm just like, I don't leave my house. I don't need that.
Right.
However, I know somebody that got in on the ground floor of not one, but two MLMs. Mm-hmm. So the first one that she got in on was LuLaRoe. And I just want you to think about everybody that knows about LuLaRoe, like being in on the ground level of that, think of the money you made. Ridiculous. And then she got in on another one. Again, ridiculous. And so some people, if you're at the very top of these things, you make money.
I mean, there was a lady, so I'll just throw it out so that way we don't feel like we're
tiptoeing. I were not saying who
we sold Pampered Chef, which is kitchen tools, seasoning, that kind of a thing. So very, very old company. I think probably
40s. So, and wait, we were in our like what, early 30s when we were doing this? Late 20s?
Early 30s, yeah.
So we were establishing kitchens, so that's also something relevant.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I mean, I would go to some of the conferences and I mean, there was a lady, same thing. She got in on the ground floor of Pampered Chef and she had trust funds for her grandchildren because she'd made so much money off the top of that. But I heard a really, and again, not to get into the negative of it, but there's kind of a pattern that I think a lot of these companies follow. And I heard another podcast kind of discuss this. And I think this is where things feel a little icky for people sometimes. So there's usually like a central figure in most of these companies. So it's either the founder or the president, that kind of thing. I don't know why, but for some reason, these companies tend to be a little bit church-based. And I can say that definitely about Chef, that it, you know, there was a lot of
stay-at-home wives in the 40s, dude.
Exactly. And they're
Tupperware, that's another one like that.
Yeah. Sorry. And I mean, you know, I know the bag company 31, I think that's literally named after a Bible verse.
It is.
31. So I don't know why. I don't know why that is. I'm sure there's research out there about that. But and then the idea is that there's this leadership team and they're kind of the exec, and they're called something different in every company, kind of an executive sort of level, a national sort of level.
And then it's called leadership teams.
Yeah. And then it filters down from there. And again, it just kind of depends on what company you're in, what kind of products are offered, you know, but you have to think as you get through every one of those levels, your income's going to grow because you have to usually meet certain requirements to become, you know, that level. So you have to have so many of this type of leader or so many of this type of consultant. Your own sales have to be this sort of a thing. So yeah. And I think, and then the basis of most of these is selling whatever product it is to your friends. So I know for us in Pampered Chef, that was easy because the products are really quality products and most people cook. So it
did. All of our friends were like in their 20s, just getting married.
We did a lot of bridal showers. That was the only bridal showers did we do. It was a lot. And so, you know, I think it seemed a little easier to me than some of my other friends had it in other companies.
Well, yeah. And I have an answer for you because I have read so much about this.
Yeah.
The reason that most of these are faith-based at some point has to do with that in a lot of conservative religious domination, the women are encouraged not to work outside the home. So by doing these kinds of parties, they had a separate branch of income. They were still at home with their kids. Right. And they were also kind of entertaining all of the women around them. So they became like a norm within the community.
Yeah. Cause like, I remember my mom growing up, she would go to candle parties and home interiors parties and, you know, things like that. And great. You know, it just, they've always kind of been, you know, you think of your grandma or Tupperware and, you know, those kind of things, that set of bowls that literally every grandmother had, she got a Tupperware party. So, you know, it's been a part of our culture, I think, for a long time. And people are either, I mean, you get to that point too, like, I'm uncomfortable with this company you're trying to sell me, but my grandma loves her Tupperware and I don't want to make her feel funny. Or, you know, my mom, my aunt was the Avon lady for years, or, you know, whatever it is. And I think, I don't know where that switched where people are now like, nah, you're a piece of crap if you join these companies. I don't think that's the case at all. But yeah, it's. Well,
and I think that too, so many people joined these like during the last 3 years during like the pandemic because they were at home and they needed to make money. Like I saw so many of my friends joining them, like especially like Color Street was popping real big. I'm trying to think. Pampered Chef always, I always have that on my feed. 31. I think those are like the three big ones I probably see the most of, but everybody's doing it now. So now it's, you know, because everybody needs to hustle and make money.
Right. And I think that is, I mean, that's, so I guess let's talk about how you get signed up for these companies. Yeah. So essentially what you do in most of them is you purchase some sort of kit that has kind of a smattering of whatever products it is you're going to sell. So I know Pampered Chef, and they made completely different now, but when I left, they had three different kit options. I think the most was like $199. So it's usually a couple hundred dollars to get started.
Oh, by the way, sorry. It is. Yeah. When you search it now, it says consultant work from home business.
Okay. So, yeah.
So they're marketing that the right way.
They're changing that up because, that's what, and the idea is that's what you do is you find ways to sell the products to your friends and family and kind of build out a network from there. So with Pampered Chef, it was having in-home parties at the time because it was before the whole Facebook thing was popular. And I mean, now that I'm thinking about this, side note, I think I started Pampered Chef before everyone could be on Facebook. I think you still had to have a .edu address to be on Facebook.
They changed that before then.
Did they?
However,
people weren't really.
When you joined Pampered Chef and subsequently what I did right after, it was not a thing to have a page for your business. And to do all of that. So like we actually were in it when the transition to Facebook parties and we created our Facebook pages, I think either together or we bounced ideas back and forth because again, that was the new thing.
Yeah. Well, remember we were like in the time before news feeds. So you literally just go to someone's profile and click on it. So anyway, but, you know, so, and then that's the idea, is that you kind of build out from there. Well, obviously, I mean, some people are going to have the skills to do this. Some people have a huge community of people that are interested and willing. Some people are literally, you know, I know for you, you moved to Iowa and knew nobody. And so that, yeah.
That, I mean, that led to the downfall, but for like the first year, I moved to this like tiny little place. And for the first year, I was really able to keep up because I had already been doing Facebook parties back for people that lived everywhere. Yeah. So I was able to keep them up for a while. But then, you know, when I lived in a big city, it was easy to drop a couple, business cards or do something or meet people or, but in a small town of, I think, 1,500. Like you don't have that. There was already a Pampered Chef layer there, been there since the 60s. Like I couldn't compete.
Yeah, she was like, nah, this is my territory. Yeah. And you know, and I think that too. And so yeah, then finding these people to have parties or finding these people to join your team. And I hope I asked you, but hopefully I wasn't like, I really need, you know, hey girl boss, and you know, all the things that have really given this industry, I feel like, a bad name, because you know, and so,
No, I was going to say, I think LuLaRoe was the one that did that, because they were the ones that started doing the live parties.
Yes.
Like the very live parties where people were like flipping out about leggings. And I think that changed the culture.
And I think too, just knowing, you know, what the, you know, what the culture of your area is super. Yeah. If you know, if you have, you know, I would go to people are like, oh, can we do this in my retirement community? And I always like, maybe, because literally all those people would come and be like, I don't cook. Like I maybe need a can opener or, you know, something like that. So yeah.
And I think too, like, I don't know, it fit that season of my life very well. And then I did 31, but that was like not real. I only did it so that I could sell to myself to get all my things that I needed to move. Because when I went to Iowa, I bought a lot of 31 because it was good stuff to move my stuff in. So I don't know. I just looked on here though. I got to tell you, it's so different now, because it's like, I could run my business from anywhere and I could be with my little boys. Like they are targeting this work from home, be with your kids thing.
And that's what I was going to say, is that is really the selling point of these type of companies, is that in making a generalization here, but they really appeal to the moms. So, you know, and I even did that for a while. I quit my full-time job and stayed home for about a year, and Pampered Chef was my only income, because I had a tiny little baby and a 5-year-old, and it was nice to, you know, have that flexibility and kind of get that figured out. Now, ironically, that is the year that I did the best, because I could focus fully on that.
Exactly.
It also was very hard to replace my full-time income. So ultimately didn't work for me to do that full-time.
I just did it more so, I mean, being a college professor, I'm off in the summers. And so you remember that was my thing. I was like, if I can teach one class on campus and do my Pampered Chef, like, I'm good. And so it worked out perfect. Oh, by the way, their new kits are, they're not really called kits now. They're called startup bundles launch bundles. Wow. And now you can pick if you want a stoneware based one, a cast iron, an air fryer, or a grill one.
Okay. So changing up a little bit of marketing with the times here. So,
well, and like if you joined and never actually like did anything with it, it's cheaper to get the $200 air fryer launch bundle than it is to actually buy the air fryer.
And I feel like, again, that's a little bit where this gets a bad name, because I remember, what were they called? Oh, kidnappers is what they would call
them. Yes. Where they just join and take people's stuff and then never do anything with the
business. Yeah, so they join, they get their kit in the mail. And I mean, you know, yes, you're signing like a legal agreement with that. And I think too, that is an important thing to talk about with these, is most of them are set up so that you literally are essentially a franchise owner of this business. So you don't have a brick and mortar or anything like that, but you are a 1099 contractor. you are in charge of your own taxes, your own expenses, you know, all of those kinds of things. Now you have materials and support and things like that. But at the same time, I've also, having done mortgages for so long, seen a couple of people that had some tax issues because of these types of businesses. So yeah. With anything, if you're going to do it, you need to make sure that you're setting yourself up correctly and paying your taxes and understanding that this is not just free money, like it is actually income, and you do need to keep track of receipts and, you know, all those other things. So,
well, and yeah, I think that's a big thing too, is that you have to know how to run it. Like if I did one in 2023 compared to back then, I mean, I would run it a little differently with what I know. Mm-hmm. But like, even when I did my taxes, there is so much that you can write off when you have a home business.
But like, track of it. Yeah.
Yeah. But you have to be organized, which I'm sure over the times that we do more episodes together, we will talk about organization because it is my love language. But
yes, but you see, please don't look at my desk right now. And I was actually going to say, yeah, see, I've got all these receipts on my desk that I need to put in my spreadsheet. So, yeah.
Oh, I heart a spreadsheet. Well, and then there's like, I was just thinking about this too. Another reason they get bad name is like ones like Herbalife and like Avacare, who were fined for all these, like a lot of the weight loss ones. I just, those ones are the cringe ones for me.
And I also saw a lot of those, and I don't know specific what companies, but some of the oil companies that they were claiming that, you know, use our product,
cancer,
not going to get COVID, like that. That is dangerous, dangerous stuff.
And oh yeah.
You know, I mean, know what you're putting in your body. Know, you know, it's one thing to buy some bamboo spoons to cook my food with because, you know, okay, I either buy those at Walmart or I buy them for my friend and they're better quality. But if you're like a capsule that you're ingesting into your body, like you want to know some things about that before you start taking it. And yeah, it got a little cringy for sure.
Yeah, there's just... I saw a lot of that with, we knew somebody that was like, yeah, if you want to prevent getting COVID, like you should take this oil and da da da, put it under your feet. And I'm like, how about no? Like that just seems like, now do I love some oils? Yes. Do I think that they're curing anything? No. The only one that I know ever does anything is like when I use peppermint and it clears my sinuses. That's just normal. Or
relieves a headache. Or
yes. And there's another one. I have one that's an oil with like CBD in it. Well, I know that's going to help with like pain, but I don't think they're magic. And there are some people that definitely do.
Right. I was talking about memes and I remember seeing a funny meme that was like, oh, it was really funny how some of you went from oils to bleach pretty quickly during COVID.
My friend was like, there's a Venn diagram of the people that believe oils cure things and the people that don't wear masks, and it's circle. I wanted to look up what like the top MLMs were too, because I always feel like data. So there's MLMs that I've never even heard of in this top five, like Nu Skin. NU Skin. That's number five. They're worth $4.68 billion.
Wow.
So then Herbalife is still up there, but they're actually paying out a lot of lawsuits. So I don't.
And I will throw in a little caveat here. I know if you're interested in researching this further, like you can search, I can't remember if it's the Attorney General. Like a lot of these companies have misleading practices, fines, and things like that. So you can look these up and see, you know, if you're interested in a company. I think it's worth looking up and see, you know, I after I heard that on a podcast, I looked up Pampered Chef and it had like a couple mentions, but it wasn't anything
different. I still feel like they're pretty legit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So Nu Skin, Herbalife, Avon. That's not shocking. Market America, and it says that they faced federal racketeering lawsuits recently.
Wow.
They have 180,000 reps, but it seems like most of these are in, yeah, they're in other countries, but they're still up there. Number one, you have any guesses what the number one, like, top direct selling MLM is?
Mary Kay.
See, I would have thought that too. This one's weird. It's Amway. And you know where the
these like Amway. Yeah.
And the headquarters for that is actually where I live.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which is strange. They have 80 buildings and 3.5 million square feet of office here.
Wow.
Damn. That's at campus.
Yeah, seriously.
They have over 15,000 employees here and more than 4,000 actually work here at the world headquarters. And they've been around for 65 years.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Pampered Chef is, I'm seeing if there's other ones we've never heard of too. I don't know what Vorwerk is.
And I will say like some of these companies, yes, are very fly by night, but like Pampered Chef is owned by Berkshire Hathaway. So Warren Buffett owns
Pampered Chef.
And, you know, I don't know him personally. He wrote me a note once, but I don't like he buys illegitimate companies. You know what I mean? So some of these really do have like a solid business background.
Yeah. There's, again, it's that like line, right? Like I would put Tupperware, Pampered Chef, Avon and Mary Kay, I would put them in a different category than some of these ones that have just like, or I don't know, there's what, Scentsy is another one I can think of off the top of my head that I've probably bought. What was the one that, Leosphia, do you remember that? Like all the drop in them?
They went bankrupt kind of out of the blue.
Just like randomly too. They were a big one for a while. So I just think that now people are way more reliant on direct sales than back, like when this was a part-time thing. I think some of them, like LuLaRoe, set the tone for you could be a millionaire.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case.
Yeah. I think so for me, if I was giving advice to someone, like you have to be realistic and you have to know that you're going to have to work at it. You can't just put out a status on social media and you may get an order or two that way, but that is not how you build your business. And I mean, even I haven't done Pampered Chef in 6 or 7 years now, and I still will see people that are like, hey, are you still doing Pampered? Like they have no idea that I gave it up 6 years ago. You know what I mean?
Because they associate you with it.
Yes, exactly. So you've got to give it some time too. And yes, you can certainly like go at it gangbusters and make money and build your business very quickly. And a lot of companies encourage that sort of thing. But there's also something to be said for playing the long game. And I think that's with any sales job that you have. Like people have to get used to you being that person before you're that person. So,
and you have to be realistic, because if you aren't like a people person, this is going to suck for you.
Right.
And if you aren't a people person and you're like, well, there's all these tools, like the scripts that they give you, please don't use them. Like they are ridiculous. Cause hey girl, I haven't talked to you and we have this new bag and it would be so great for you. And you're like, no, I don't need that. And then they push you. The ones that push you are the ones that I can't handle.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, are you sure? Or I never felt comfortable with the like pushing people into parties, which is something that they do. They want you to have X amount of parties. Like I can remember going to meetings with Laura where they'd be like, all right, sit down and write out 20 people you can call and then get into groups and start calling people. And I'm like, I don't want to talk on the phone.
Well, because for you and I, it's a lot weirder if I call you out of the blue. You're either going to be like, what's wrong? Or, you know, that's my sister has that joke. Like we have more of the last year or so, but like we don't talk on the phone much. So if I call her, she's literally like, who died? What's wrong? What bad news are you calling me with? You know, it's that kind of thing. So even now, if I want to talk to her on the phone, hey, can you chat? Get a little softer landing. But yeah, it was never, you know, and I've been at several in, you know, in different industries, sales things that are like, just call this person on.
Like that worked back when we had landlines. Worked back when we like could only talk on our phones after 9 and it's like, I'm going to call you in the evening.
Right.
But now that we have unlimited data and we can text and we have many computers in our hands, like nobody wants to, I mean, you and I do that. Hey, do you want to talk? Because like, it's easier to talk.
My dad. Like, he'll text me, can you talk? Or I'll text, you know, because he's in the barn. I'm, you know, on a call. I'm in the middle of something with the kids. Like, it's just life. And so, yeah. And sorry, this is a total side tangent. But
it's true, because I think we all expect everybody to answer their phones like we used to do back when we had like a home phone, because you would be at work for 8 hours. So if somebody called, you hadn't talked to them all day. But now it's like, I can be in a meeting. I do this a lot with you. Like, I'm in a meeting, but I'm going to text you the whole time because F the meeting.
Yeah.
It's just different levels. And I think we expect everybody to be ready, which is what these companies do, right? Like, they expect you to call and your grandma answers and is like, yeah, I'm going to place an order, you know, and that's not how the world works.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and that really is kind of the crux of what some of these companies sell you on as being a consultant is, you know, you have this flexibility. It is your own business. If you need, you know, because I would legitimately talk to people about that when I was talking to them about, you know, and it wasn't a, let me sell this to you if you're not interested. But if they're like, hey, I've been thinking about being a consultant. It's like, okay, well, what if you can make an extra $400 a month? That is a car payment, or, you know, that kind of a thing. And
that's how she got me.
I mean, you know, and we've had the opportunity through our experience to see a lot of really great speakers and people whose lives have literally been changed by these companies. And so I don't think, you know, we would hear stories all the time, like the people, this was their way out of abusive relationships. This was their way out of poverty. There was something on the Today Show, I don't know, this has probably been 10 years ago, but it was about Avon and how they were going into African countries where these poor women couldn't really leave their villages, and they'd start these Avon businesses. And, you know, they would only a lotion to a neighbor or something like that. And it literally changed their economic life. So I think too, you talking about more people are doing these kind of companies now, like, I mean, think about, and I know we've talked about on multiple podcasts, just the shift of culture that the world experienced after COVID. Like, we want to work for ourselves. We want to have that flexibility. I want to be able to run to the grocery store, because if I don't get it right now, I won't get it in the crock pot in time for dinner.
Yes. And
all those kinds of things. So yeah, these cater to that for sure. So it's just a matter of, you know, but if you have to know yourself too, right? So if you're a person that needs, you know, I've been to umpteen entrepreneur things here lately, and not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur. And I think that's an important thing to know about. And there's nothing wrong with not being wired that way. Alex Mickler, friend of the podcast, has been on multiple times. He is, you know, he would rather just go clock in, clock out, and leave. And that's okay. We need people like that in the world, but these types of businesses are not that sort of a thing, because if you're just, you know, the whole week yawns before you and you don't get anything done, that's solely on you to make that happen. So sorry, I didn't mean to go on that rant, but.
No, but it's true. Like, what do they always tell us? You work the business. There's like a very girl bossy phrase that I cannot think of right now.
Yeah.
But like, the more you put in, usually the more you're going to get out of it. I don't know. I have nothing but good experiences with Pampered Chef. So, I mean, like, I just don't have anything negative about it. It's just, if you've got a business going and it's working, like, keep doing it. Cause it didn't cost me money to do my.
Yeah. Once you make back your initial kit cost, you really control the bus from there as far as what you make. You know, I had a gal on my team that didn't like to ask people to pay for their products when they ordered them. And I kept saying to her, do you go into Macy's and expect Macy's to front the money for your purchases? You do not. So it's okay to ask, you know, same with online ordering. Do you, you know, not a lot of companies will let you pay when those products are delivered. So, you know, sorry, sister, that's kind of on you. You either need to get good at asking or this may be the wrong business for you. So, you know, those types of things.
And I think that another thing too is like the ones that make you buy this stuff, because those do exist. I wouldn't want to have an inventory. So like the way I did mine is that I would usually run a show for myself every month to get free stuff to be able to use as like giveaways or like you know, as somebody, like the brownie pan was a huge thing when we were consultants. So I would have extra of those. So if somebody wanted one, I'd be like, yeah, I'll knock $5 off. Cause I used,
right,
you know, free money, essentially, yeah, rewards to buy it in the first place. And so like, there would be stuff I would have like that, but I mean, I do have like 2 boxes that I haven't gone through in 3 years. They're still.
I'm preparing for a garage sale as we speak, and there are several odds and ends. Or, you know, I know you and I would buy things off the outlet. So if I'm going to do a fair, I'd have some things that, you know, because and you have to learn, right, the culture. So like, I knew if I went to a fair, I'm not going to get a lot of orders from people just picking up a catalog and ordering. Like, I've got to have some physical, tangible things that they can walk away with. And so those are just things that you. But, you know, it's like any other business, you don't have to, you're not going to go from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain. Like, you have to work and learn and kind of get up to that place.
Which is why, like, when I lived in Indiana, it was easy because we lived in the city that we went to college in. Laura grew up in the area. I mean, I didn't, but like, we'd been there over 10 years at that point. And it was easy to get a business going and be like, oh, well, there's usually this fair or there's this festival or there's, you know, whatever. But if you move, you don't have that anymore. But the internet is great now because they've got, when we were doing it, you had to have a show completed for people to order. Now you don't need any of that. Like, they'll ship stuff faster. Yeah. Life is different.
It is. And I think, you know, it is what it is. And so I think you just need to research the company that you're thinking about, you know, working with too. Pampered Chef, you're mailing huge pizza stones, cookware, like big items. They are going to charge you shipping. I'm sorry. I don't like paying for shipping either. It's just part of how it goes. So, you know, if that's something that you, free shipping, something you need to hang your hat on, you either got to figure out how to front that yourself or live with it. Like, it's just not, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah.
And you know what, right before we filmed this, I actually was putting on Color Street nails. So I am supporting MLMs all around me.
And I think that's it too. Like, I do like supporting my friends. I don't want to be the sole support of your business. So
yeah, don't come at me every month to ask me if I need a new pizza stone. Like,
yeah, and there,
bought it once, I'm good.
And there are certain companies, there is a makeup company that I have tried multiple things of their products. I don't like it. I'm sorry. I support you from afar. This is not for me. And, you know, same, there's been a couple clothing ones that I'm like, these clothes don't fit my body. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what size I buy. It's just not working out. So, you know, that's okay too, to say that I support you from afar, but I'm not buying a product.
And I think that we have a mutual friend who does 31. Mm-hmm. And I think that with her, the reason that she's so great at it is she doesn't pester me. Like, she knows every couple of years, I'm probably going to message her and say, I need to throw a party because there's like a ton of new stuff. My party is always make. So she has no problem with that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's the kind of person that I like being around, not the person that is hustling so hard that they're bugging me on every imaginable way. My email, my Facebook. No.
Right.
Miss me with that.
Right. Exactly. Well, how about our 3 nuggets? What do you think we got on this topic here? So I think first, researching the company that you're considering.
Second, for me, I think if it feels suspect, it's probably suspect. Mm-hmm.
Go with your gut on that stuff. Like, it, yeah.
What's your third?
Oh, third, gosh. Just like stepping back and trying to support people if they're your friends. Now, the random girl from high school, she's obviously just trying to sell you something. But, like, you don't have to go in all crappy on, you know, like if you started selling something, Kristen, I wouldn't be like, oh,
No, she'd probably throw a party.
I probably would. I'm not saying that you have to do that, but you don't have to be nasty. And I think that's a good life lesson, right? Because, and that's our culture. Like, we don't like something, or something isn't how we would do it, so it's wrong. And that's, you know.
And then you get canceled, and then your life's over.
Exactly. So, and you're a piece of crap for participating. Like, no, it's, you know.
No, if that is paying your light bill, then go for it. You know, if that is paying your car, whatever, like, hustle, but leave me out of it. If I tell you I'm not, hey, I'll reach back out, I legitimately mean that.
Yeah.
So I don't need you to come back. I mean, I have a planner. I write all my shit in there. So I will come back to you when I need that.
Now, if you say to me, is it okay if I reach out in a couple of months? Sure.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But if you add me to 15 mail lists and start texting me and inviting me, I hate when people blind invite me to Facebook parties. Do not do that.
Mm-hmm. I don't even check my events. So if you've invited me to something, no, I'm not. Well, let's end, Kristen. I'm putting you on the spot with this too, because we didn't talk about this ahead of time. But what are you Googling this week?
This week, wow, that was putting me, I'm her producer and I didn't even know she was
going. I've got this one if you want me to start while you think.
Yeah, you start because I will tell you what it is though.
So I was making cornbread last week and someone ate all the eggs and I didn't realize it. And I was literally in the middle of mixing it. So I'm like, crap, what's an egg substitute? Weirdly enough, mayonnaise is an egg substitute.
I would have never known that.
And I guess it makes sense because mayonnaise is made with eggs.
I also didn't even think, I never think about that there's eggs and mayonnaise. Yeah. Okay. I've been Googling a lot of, I don't even know how to say this. Like home decor, like why does my house do this? But I need help to figure out how to fix it kind of stuff. Yes. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Like we have a running toilet and it would run and it would hiss. And so I was Googling like hissing toilet. It brings back some great stuff. So I just don't click. But I've been Googling a lot of like, you know, previous person left paint. How do I get it off of my sideboards? Like,
yes.
I'm in some weird nesting phase of my life where I just want to fix all the little tiny things. So that's what I've been Googling.
I love it. You're living that meme. Like I just fixed something, you know, that I put off for 10 years. It took me 5 minutes. I will learn nothing from this, but you're like actually doing it. It's so good.
I'm kind of proud of myself. I'm not going to lie.
Well, awesome. Well, Kristen, I am so excited to officially give you your own purple chair to be, you know,
so happy
full time. So excited. So everyone, as always, thank you so much for listening and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends with me, your host, Laura Mickler. D3 is produced by Kristen Pickett and recorded and edited at Winter Freeds Records by Aaron Winter. See you next week for my purple chair.